Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening from. My name is Priscilla, aka Scylla.
How's everyone doing? My name is Edward.
And welcome to the Common Nomad Podcast. Edward, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It was my law school's homecoming this past weekend. So good to see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of catching up, some old, some new. It was a good time. It was beautiful weather yesterday and Friday. And it was just a good time. Always a good time to see, once again, ironically, old friends and potentially new friends from their friends. So, you know, I met a lot of new people who live in D.C. or in the DMV area and made more connections with them. So it was a good weekend. Definitely a great, productive weekend. Today, I am going to relax, watch some football. Not too much activity being outside, but it was a good weekend just being around old classmates that, you know, the classmates that became friends and classmates that were, you know, we had a good time together back in law school and we still remain in contact to this day. So it was a good time. How was you? How are you? I'm sorry.
How was you? That's a new one. That sounds exciting because I think even when I had gone to the school that I went to, I had heard about Howard Homecoming, and though I never got the ability to attend, the people that did go always talked about how it was a good time. So I could imagine that it was a good time, and I'm happy to hear that you enjoyed yourself. For me, my weekend was a bit busy, and similar to you, I am going to be relaxing and resting as well because I need it. So I wanted to talk about something that I came across while I had to do a work assignment. And basically,
you're not gonna let me ask you what's on your mind?
No, because I mean, do you normally ask me what's on my mind? I feel like I'm asking.
I think you normally ask me what's on my mind. So I'm gonna ask you, hey Priscilla.
Does the black man really care about what the black woman is doing?
Oh, of course not. Of course not. It's more like right. When something's on my mind, you ask me. And then when something's your mind, I'm gonna ask you. So Priscilla, what is on your mind today?
What is on my mind is something that I came across while having to work on a work assignment. And basically, for those that are just listening for the first time, or for those that are not familiar with our podcast, I am a public health professional. Edward's a lawyer. So this is actually public health related, but mental health related. So back in June, the Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek H. Murthy, proposed or basically published a statement talking about how we are in a loneliness epidemic, which I thought was very interesting. And it's just to say that Americans, or let me backtrack a little bit. It's just to say that mental health is a public health crisis, and it's a public health crisis for many reasons. So let me back up here because I think this concept is really easy to understand, but just for those that are not familiar with why mental health is a public health issue. So there's a lot of things that can cause people to have a mental health problem or a mental health crisis. And it even stems to the very basic needs of food, shelter, water, and et cetera. So not even having those things can contribute to your mental health. And public health in general is just the health of everyone's well-being and how governments play a role in that, how hospitals play a role in that, and other stakeholders play a role in that. So when we think about mental health, we may think about the thing that is making us sad, or the thing that's making us anxious, or the series of events that have taken place that might cause someone to act a certain way. But there's more to mental health when we're discussing under the public health crisis here. So as I mentioned before, Dr. Vivek is a Surgeon General, and a Surgeon General is basically saying that he is the nation's doctor. So he's serving under President Joe Biden right now, and he has also served for President Obama as well. So basically, in this statement, which I'll include the link in the episode description for those that are interested, he talks about how loneliness is becoming a really big epidemic. And what I found to be really interesting is that loneliness was not a thing that just got worse because of the pandemic, which is what a lot of people think. And it's safe to think that. So he defines loneliness to a certain degree as a corrosive condition with grave consequences. And that's because Americans are basically becoming more and more socially disconnected, which is increasing our depression, anxiety, and even suicide. So those are some of the more common mental health issues that we've come to learn about. So then he basically, in summary, goes to talk about how, you know, before our civilization is what we'd known it to be, we used to be hunter-gatherers, we used to find safety in community. And then he even talks about how the communal places that most people would go to, so for example, church or a place of faith, or anything that requires civic organizations, that's decreased also a lot. It's decreased tremendously. So then also to add on to that, so we're basically not communing together. We're not going to places together. There's a lot of changes in our lives. So we're changing jobs frequently. And then also with remote jobs, and that happened to still be a preference after the pandemic, that's also disconnecting our social opportunities to be with people and talk with them and hang out with them. And then you have, you know, social media that feels like everyone's so connected, but only on their internet and not in real life, which I think a lot of us know that already. So I just thought this was interesting and I wanted to bring this up because I think social media may give people the impression that we are connected when in fact he's saying that we're not. And if I haven't mentioned this already, this was published in June and we are recording this in October. So I'm pretty sure that this is not something that has changed drastically since when he first published this. And I'm just going to pause right there. And then I think, Edward, I'm going to ask, like, you know, what are you thinking so far? And I know that I said this to you before we recorded this. So I guess preliminary thoughts.
Well, before I get to preliminary thoughts, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your specific thoughts, because I know you mentioned about a lot of what you read and observed, but what do you think about everything that he said, and what are your initial thoughts of what you researched?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with what he's saying, and I think I would have to do more extensive research if any other surgeon general before him had alluded to the fact that mental health was a public health crisis, because I think we had been talking about it for a while. I just don't know if anybody else that holds the position that he does, as high as he does, has been talking about it. So I definitely agree. Excuse me. I definitely agree. I agree that I don't think this is a controversial opinion, but I think it's an unpopular opinion. I think American culture comes off as if it's very, we're together, we're together, we're together. But I do not think that it is a culture of community. I think it's a culture of individualism. And I don't think it's controversial because I don't think it's anything that would shake tables. Of course, people can feel free to disagree, but I do think that people are a lot more lonely than they like to admit and that they like to give off, right? I think it can be a bit confusing, like I said, because we have the apparatus of social media. So you can see your friend having a good time and you'll think that they're having a good time. And you don't really know, because they could also be feeling lonely as well. We don't really know how well connected people are. We talk about these things, but I don't think people are really being honest, because I think this is a topic that a lot of people don't like to admit. I think that as much as we've been talking about therapy or having resources in which you can connect with people, obviously things are not getting better. And I think that even in reading in this article, I know he basically alludes to the fact that we do need to be more connected. And I don't think he specifically goes into what we need to do. His answer was more of an abstract, we need to embrace love. And I do think that that's important, but I think my question is it realistic to start fixing these issues of loneliness? How do we recognize it? How do people get out of their habit of, well, it's just me, myself, and I don't know if it's even worth trying to repair friendships, right? Like, we just had a couple episodes ago where we talked about going to certain, you know, inviting a friend out to do a shared activity together, or doing that activity that you like, so you can meet people. So it's just ironic that he publishes this, and then we talk about finding ways to meet up people, and people are still feeling like they're going through this by themselves, like they're still lonely, and that this is basically plaguing our society. So those are my thoughts.
No, I appreciate it. And I want to hear them because, like I mentioned to you before in other episodes, at the end of the day, it's a mindset. I think loneliness is a mindset. I don't know if it's reality in the way I'm trying to say it, because if you want to feel better, be better, you try your best to put yourself in the best position possible, whether, like you said, it's getting the help you need, or whether it's trying to connect with people who have shared similar experience or interests, because you don't have to go through anything alone. You know, even with being by yourself or being with others, you can definitely have a friend go through the things, especially the most tragic things in life. It's funny when you mention social media, because yeah, I mean, social media is what, like, the interaction among people in which they create, share, and or exchange information and ideas in like a virtual space, you know, and we call it networking or social networking, and it's based on community. It's supposed to bring people closer together. But as you and I both know, I haven't had social media in a while, and I feel more connected than ever to other people, because now it actually takes conversations. You can't just like a picture and say, oh yeah, I know what you're doing because you like a picture, or retweet or repost, or even you posting a content of yourself, a picture or video, and people like that. That's not really connecting with your friends or family. It's not, you see what they're doing. You see that they went out that night, or you see that they graduated, or you see that they got a new job, but you're not really connecting with them. You're just seeing it. So I think that's not, I mean, you're right, that's an illusion, because you have a social media that you're connected with all your people, but you're not. You know, you're just clicking a button does not mean you're connected. And so I think it's a good idea. One thing I talked about an episode ago or a couple episodes ago about this volunteerism in regards to being together with your friends. And I think when we say that, we don't always try to talk about the joyful moments. You know, it don't always have to be a celebratory moment where you're having a great time with your friend. It could be just being there for them, hanging out with them, especially when you or the friend are going through something. I mean, that's more importantly, like, you have to lean on your friends in those moments. I think in the document article that you shared, that was the definition. A friend is somebody who reminds you of who you are when you forget. Keyword, when you. So friends serve you, like any relationship. The purpose of relationships, in my opinion, is to serve the other person, whether it's romantic, whether it's professional, whether it's platonic. You have to serve the other person to be in their life. You have to be there for them in those moments. And like everybody, we all do forget from time to time the things we go through. I mean, it's life. You know, we all got jobs, got family, got finances, got our extracurricular activities, got, you know, anything, you know, whatever it may be. We all got stuff going on with life. And some days, like I always say, some days I'm going to be the best Edward. Some days I'm going to fall short. And some days I'm just going to be trash. This is the nature of life, you know, and I'm blessed to live the life every day to find out, you know, what things I could do in that day. But going back to what I said about the loneliness, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with what he's saying. Definitely during the pandemic, I mean, I told you, like, I'm not used to being a homebody. So that was the first time in my life where I was at home for long periods of time, and it was bad for me. No, I had to get out the house. You know, I like to be in the homebody to decompress and relax, but to be there for long periods of time and not really engage with other people just via Zoom or FaceTime, you know, it was hard for me. It was, because I never been like that. I never studied in my apartment, in my dorm, in my house before. I always went out of the house to study. And so when I had to study or do something productive, I just didn't like doing it at the house, because my home is my peace. I had to separate that. Even now working remotely, like, I go into the office for that reason. I like to leave my home to be productive in that way, because I like that peace. I like that barrier, because when I come home, I want to do me, whatever that means, whether it's DJing, doing a podcast, relaxing, watching the game, playing the game with my friends. I don't want to think about things I have to do productively, even though it's all part of the nature of life. So I definitely agree with him. I definitely think the pandemic probably showcased it more, because people were at home with their thoughts more often. And if you didn't get the proper help before the pandemic, those things that were lingering in your past due to past trauma, past interactions, past situations, it probably did prosper more or probably came out more in those times. So, no, it's tough, man. And but like he talked about, there's nobody solution, but, you know, having a friend, a true friend to be there for you during those tough times can just help you get through those tough moments.
So I think it cheapens, the existence of this. If you say that you think that it's just a mindset, like, though I understand what you're saying, I think it cheapens the fact that this is something that is plaguing people and it's plaguing a whole society, right? So he says that this has been happening for almost half a century. And he gives his own personal, he gives his own anecdotal experience as to how he wasn't being he wasn't connecting and reaching out to his friends when he first started his Surgeon General opportunity in 2017. And he said that he basically chose his job over the expense of his friendships. So I think it wasn't until his wife started to realize, like, hey, you're just working and you're not really reaching out. You're not really strengthening your current friendships. And therefore, you know, you should reach out. And he was saying that he felt embarrassed because basically he had went 2 years choosing this job over his friendships and didn't know how to come back and be like, hey, y'all, I'm really sorry that I have not been in your lives for 2 years.
But you see right there, Priscilla, you see right there. He decided that I'm going to do better, which one? I'm not trying to downplay.
If it wasn't for his wife, we don't know if that's right. Something that he would have seen for himself. That's right. That's what's written. So that's what we know.
No, no, correct. And that's why it's a two-step process. It's like when you don't know, you don't know. But when you have a romantic partner, your wife, your husband, a friend, a close family member, tell you things that you should work on yourself to be better, to do better, to have better. That's step one. Someone telling you.
That's ideal, right? Because.
Yeah, I mean, it's ideal. Yeah. And then step two is.
But ideal is not always necessarily realistic, right? So. He knew in choosing this job that he said it himself, choosing this job was at the expense of his friendship. So you made a decision knowing what the consequences was going to be. And I think that speaks to maybe what some of us, or since it's a pandemic or epidemic rather, I think it speaks to what a lot of us do. We make a lot of decisions knowing that it might be at the expense of friendships. I think it's ideal to say, hey, you're going to have someone on your camp or on your side or on your team remind you, like, you do need to reconnect, because we don't know how many regular people that are listening to our podcast that would even have someone to do that. You get what I'm saying? But you can finish your thought.
No, no. And I agree with that. I mean, I'm not trying to make this black or white or gray or, easy, one answer or another. It's not, all this stuff is not easy. That's what I say. I don't want to use the word ideal, because if you have that person, whoever that person, you know, this is a friendship concept. If you have that friend to be there for you, and that friend could be a romantic partner, a best friend, a family, or you know, actual non-blood related friend, and they have the wherewithal to tell you that. That's all I'm trying to get at. I'm not trying to say this happens for everybody, but once again, if your friends don't make you of a better person, that's a whole different conversation, maybe a whole different episode as well, how your friends can make you a better person. But raw, once someone tells you, because like I said, we don't know. Sometimes we don't know how we really want to change ourselves until someone tells us to. Like you said, he said he knew the expense of his friendships, but maybe because he said it, he didn't actually know and take that within himself, like, dang, wait a minute, I'm losing friends because of this job. I know he said it, but maybe they understand like the practical aspects of it.
He says verbatim, it was a choice I had made and I felt embarrassed.
But you know, I said that because when his wife told him, you need to do better in that regard, he decided to change, or he changed his mindset. You know what? You're right. I need to do better with my friends. I'm ashamed. Meaning he felt bad. He felt regretful. He felt like he made a mistake when he took the job and said that statement, from what I read, from what I perceived that statement to be. As a result, the mindset changed and he changed his course of action to be better. He still has the job, but now he's going to do a better job and making sure his friends are not at the expense of the job. Does all that make sense?
No, that does make sense. And That does make sense. And I think as we're having this conversation in real time, I'm also thinking, what are the decisions that people are making? Like, what is the decision that an individual that is listening to this podcast is making that makes them lonely or makes them not lonely, right? So, because if it is a mindset and you do have the ability to go somewhere where people commune, whether that is a, you know, a place of faith, whatever your faith may be, if it's a, like, a, I think we talked about on that volunteerism episode, whether it's chess, whether it's poker, right? Like, whatever that hobbies that you have, I think it also even proves that you need to know what you like to see how you can meet other people through those means, right? So for sure, the practical, if we were going to sit here and be like, oh, these are the solutions and how you can fix your loneliness, I don't think that that's what this episode is going to be. But I think, what decisions are people making that they are knowingly and unknowingly not really making these friendships a priority? And I think that for me is what I was getting out when that's what was speaking to me when I was reading this article, because it's like, okay, well, what are people doing, right? Because if people are not even showing up to their places of faith, people are not even showing up to civic organizations anymore, and this has been something that's been happening for almost half a century, then there has been systems in place or situations in place that have been trying to dwindle the idea of bringing community together. It didn't happen overnight. The pandemic, like you said, just kind of shed a light on it. But if this was happening before the pandemic, then really what's been secretly happening that people are not really becoming aware of? That's just like a random question. Not that I have the answer, but.
No, of course. And I agree with that. I mean, there is probably not one thing. I mean, it could be systematically, you know, in place in different institutions. I mean, school, you know, education, when you're studying, you know, sometimes you do group studies, sometimes you do individual studies. I think the more years I got in education, I was more in the group stages. I remember K through 12 and even for some years at Morehouse, I studied by myself. You know, I study with my close guy friends here or there, but when we had to do certain subjects that were not together or whatever, then I studied on my own. I think not until I got to law school, but even after my first year, I used to study a lot by myself. And then after that, I studied with friends or potential friends. So, I mean, I think one way, you know, studying could be, you know, an intimate, selfish activity, which is an institution in place. Working, you know, when you start a new job, you know, training is kind of a self-isolated thing where you watch videos on a computer, or if you're doing something active, you're working in the warehouse, or you're doing stuff yourself in the training activity and not really as a group for the most part. So, I mean, yeah, I could definitely see in those two soft examples where there's multiple instances where we are doing things by ourselves in fulfillment of our day-to-day activity. But like I said, this is just my opinion. And like I said, it could be very watered down, but it is. And in the day, it's a mindset. If you want to achieve, if you want to gain new friendships and or strengthen your existing friendships, the first thing to do is you have to have the want to do so. Cause I think that's the thing, Priscilla. Like, if you want to do so, I think we're all capable, for the most part, to put ourselves in situations where we can, or ask questions where we can. And so, hey, like you said, have you tried joining a church organization? Have you tried joining a sports league? Have you tried joining chess? Have you tried to join going a guys' night, poker night? You know, it's like, even if you don't know, if you want to, I think you ask the questions to people who may know the answer. And this is my opinion. Like, every day in my life, I think it's just about mindset. It's a mindset. When you wake up every day, what do you want to do? If you want to get better in that way, once again, not trying to water down, I know there's more to that. But I think for someone to get better in that regard or feel better, you can have all the people in the world around you, all the support system, the love, even, you know, your religious beliefs have that, but you have to want to do it. You have to want. And that's just my opinion. I mean, that's just the way I look at things a lot. And no one can force you to do something you don't want to do. You know, even if you have great people around you, you know, great family structure, a great sibling, a great romantic partner. If you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. So that's just my, I think my middle take about the loneliness, about that concept. Cause like I said, even the Surgeon General, he said, I want to get better. You're right. I did something in the past. It probably was an intentional decision that I lost those friends due to the expense of my job. 2 years later, I want to get better. As a result, I'm going to get better because I'm still having the job, but I can do better in this aspect.
And I think he further up in the article, he talks about how, you know, people who also hold very high positions, it could be anywhere from, you know, a CEO of a business or someone who's married, or, you know, we normally tend to think of loneliness as elderly people just by themselves, but obviously like that's, it's more to that. So if he's a Surgeon General and he chose his job at the expense of his friendships, then anyone else could be experiencing the same issue of, you know, not really making friendships and community. Let's just say community. Let's just say community as a priority, right? Because yeah, you're going to have to find it. I do agree with you. You're going to have to find it somehow, some way. And I think phones, social media, technology, that's a different topic for a different day. I think those inventions, though they pitch it as something that is a great way for you to meet people, I think to a certain degree, yes. I just don't know if it's the same as really having an interaction, because social media, you are going to have interactions with people and you might even have internet friends, but are you guys actually meeting up? Because I think that's the specific thing. It's the actual meeting up with the friend and not just feeling like you have someone to talk to, which, you know, if you're a very low maintenance person and you just need someone to talk to every now and then, every week, every month, cool, that might work for you. But it seems like the actual communing together is the important part. And I think my last question while I was reading this was, is something that he's recognizing here in America. I wonder what other surgeons, if there are other surgeons in other countries, I wonder if loneliness is another mental health crisis in other countries as well, because I can't say I would be surprised if this is only exclusive to America, but I also would be somewhat surprised if this is exclusive to America, because I think other cultures are more communal than we are. Like I said before, I think the American culture tries to present itself as to be very community-based, but I think it's very individualized-based. And I think that would be, I think culture is something that we didn't talk about, we didn't discuss, but I think culture has a lot to do with, you know, why we would be having these issues versus other countries. So I guess I'm answering half my question there by saying, I think it's the culture of the country that you live in, the culture of the geographic location that you're living in that could also pertain to this. If it's not a big deal to just stay at home and just do your own thing, then that's fine. If you live in a country or place where your neighbor just checks up on you, then that would be your new norm and you probably wouldn't feel as lonely. But if a lot of people don't have that, then I think it's the culture of the setting. And I think that's something to pay attention to. So I think that might be my own personal thing that I might do after, you know, having this discussion, like what are other countries going through? What are their mental health crises? And yeah, did you have other questions, or you're feeling like
you could say? Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point about other countries and how they view things in loneliness. Because I do think America is only like the third most recorded social media user base country in the world. I think it's China, India. Don't quote me on that. I think it's China, India, and then America.
Both equally heavily populated countries, China and India. So that's interesting.
Yeah, true. So once again, we don't know how they, you know, their day-to-day culture. I mean, I can speak for the countries I visited. And like we mentioned before, those countries I visited in Central America, South America, and Europe are what I've seen more communal based, like you mentioned. Like they do try to make an intentional effort to meet up, whether it's for coffee or for tea or for just gatherings, book clubs, reading. I think it's more, like you mentioned, it's a more of an intentional effort to meet up. And I think sometimes there is a false, and we're gonna say it again, the false illusion that just because we're connected on social media, that means we're connected in quotations. So no, it's an interesting topic. And, you know, I think the most important thing is, like you mentioned, find out who you are inside first. Like I said, the shared activity that we talked about a couple of episodes ago, definitely see what, you know, what you like you mentioned, what you like. And when you find out who you are, then that's how you can share who you are to other people, to build those communal relationships, to strengthen those existing friendships that you may have lost due to a new job, due to a new relocation, due to a new school. Because like we mentioned, if you want that person to be in your life, you have to make an effort to do so. It's not just going to work like in any relationship. And so I think it was a great episode to discuss because I think it is current, it's active. Like I said, this was published in June. So it's not, these findings are pretty much accurate at this point. And I'm glad that the doctor of this country has said something in a publicized document. And hopefully people can be aware of it, saying, you know, you're not alone. If you're going through this, you are not alone. Even if you feel like it, other people are suffering from this as well, which hopefully can bring some form of encouragement and bring some more value to how you're feeling and not feeling like you're out of place in the world that feels like everybody has so much going on. I have X number of friends via social media, so my life is good. So it feels good that maybe this article can be relatable to all people who don't feel like they're living the best life that they can because of this loneliness, because of their lack of friends or lack of existing friendships and not being a part of. So thank you. That my last takeaway is, you know, I'm going to say it again, you know, if you want to do better in that regard without minimizing the aspect of other things, then you have to want to do better. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think you made some good points. And I think if you are a communal, want community, love community, be that person. Don't let the default saying of this country make you feel like you can't get that, because it's ironic that loneliness is an epidemic and yet many people feel that way. Then the irony is that we need to potentially get out of our heads, if it is a mindset thing, which I agree, but I do think it's more than that, and also see what we can do to make community a pivotal aspect of our lives. So as always, thank you for listening. We appreciate you all. For any business inquiries, comments, questions, email us at thecommonnomad@gmail.com, thecommonnomad@gmail.com. And we will see you guys next time. Bye, y'all.
Take care, everyone.